Excision number 23213, reel 11.
Major Potts, reel 11. You were waiting outside the office.
Yeah. And out comes the adjutant, throws open the CO's door, shouts, "Officer, officer Shun, officer quick march, officer halt, officer salute." Gobsmacked. And CO looked up and said, "Your new officer, Potts." I said, "Yes, sir." "I'm going to send you to A Company," he said. I said, "Oh, good, sir." "You've got to behave yourself. And I expect high things from my officers. And if you don't, we won't keep you." "All right, Adjutant, march him out. Officer about salute, officer about turn, officer quick march." And I was outside the office. I thought, God, this is a Gestapo. The CEO was a chap called General Harry Grimshaw, who became General Harry Grimshaw, ex-Punjabi. Anyway, I went off to A Company, and they said, "Oh, you'll have to go to Warminster on a platoon commander's tactics course." And then the next day they said, "You've got to go into battalion headquarters." We were at a TA camp, mind you, at this stage, just down the road at Shorncliffe. I'd been gone to the company which was administering it. And so I went in, and they said, "We're going to Kenya." So we've got a special officer come down to tell you what you need to take to Kenya. Well, we had a blithering idiot who appeared and said, "No, Fives should take two shotguns and a good trout rod and take a bale of really good cloth for your uniforms." I mean, the man was an idiot. We were going out because Mau Mau was on. Anyway, cut a long story short, next thing I knew was, CEO wants to see you. Oh. So I went to see him and he said, "Can you drive?" And I said, "Yes, I can drive, sir." And he said, "Okay, I'm taking you with me on the advance party." Well, this was no advance party. He had no company commanders. He had five subalterns. And that was it, the advance party.
CEO. What was the
idea of that? Well, that was his idea of an advance party. And away we went.
Had you been given a platoon?
I had it, yeah, but that was left behind. I was on the advance party.
Have you had a chance to make anything of them?
No, nothing at all. I hadn't even seen them, hardly. So off I went to Kenya with the CO. And we went down to some airfield, Blackbush. And we got on an old aeroplane, and it trundled through the sky, and we got to Tripoli. And we landed, and we all got out, and we saw Neville Jupe break the world airspeed record in the first Hawker Hunter, whatever it was. And then we trundled on, and we got to Khartoum. And when we got to Khartoum, the aeroplane broke down again. So we had to stay there for 2 days, and eventually we trundled into Nairobi, and we were taken up to some transit camp, and put in tents, told where the cookhouse was, and the officers' mess. We had a few soldiers with us, and that was it. And the CO said, "I'll see you this evening." So we didn't do very much, and we hadn't got, we were still in battle dress. Anyway, CEO then appeared that evening and had an A group, and we were all told I was to have a 1-ton truck. And in my 1-ton truck, it was an awful old Morris square one. I was to go down to the ordnance depot as many times as I could in a day, to collect stores. Odd job for an officer. And we were to go. We were going to Naivasha. Two of us were on this. Another chap and myself. George Stevens had a. He had a free tonner because he was a trained MTO. And one officer was putting up tents with a few soldiers. He got them out of line. He had to drop all the tents and re-put them up again. This went on for a week or two. Nobody else came. From the battalion. I was getting trundling down 70 miles to Nairobi and 70 miles back. By the time they loaded, they were only getting one load of stores a day.
What kind of stores were you collecting?
Well, everything, everything we needed. Jerry cans, you name it. Whatever we needed. We had an RQMS with us, I think, but we didn't have a QM. And this went on for a couple of weeks. And then we arrived at the battalion started to arrive. And it all went fairly smoothly, but not great numbers at a time.
Did they arrive by air as well?
Yeah, they came by air. It was sort of really one of the...
one of the first air trooping.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there had been air trooping back in the 30s, believe it or not. But anyway, we got all settled into this camp at Naivasha, and the CIS had us all out doing PT and getting fit for altitude. And then I was sent for by my company commander, and he said, the CIO wants to send you on detachment to Hell's Gate. Hell's Gate's mentioned in King Solomon's Mines, I think I'm right in saying. And he wants a detachment down there to look for if there are any Mau Mau down in that area, because the settlers are getting worried. And you can have a platoon 2IC. And I had a second lieutenant, short service, who'd been commissioned about 2.5 days, called John Blakely. So I went off down there and we set up our camp. We had a few tents and we had some barbed wire and we were in a little area of trees. And we set off and the whole thing was lovely. And so I said, right, I think I'll go off on a 2-day patrol, go out today, have a look around the bottom of the Mau Escarpment and come back tomorrow. Are you all right, John? I'll take half of two and you keep the rest on looking after the camp. And John said, yeah. So off I went.
On
foot, yeah. Anyway, we did our patrol. We came back and John said, I think you're in trouble. I said, what's the trouble? He said, CEO came down with the company commander and the boys had put up a big... Well, it was one of these drop gates, with one bar, the sort of thing. And they put a sheet on it, and they put on it Battersea Boys Holiday Camp. And he said, I don't think the CO was very pleased. I said, I don't suppose he was too much. Anyway, that night, my evening, my company commander turned up. He said, you're in the car. I said, I don't see how I can be in the car. I wasn't even here. Because we had a lot of national service as well to fill up the numbers. Anyway, he said, well, the CEO will be saying something to you when he sees you. So I said, okay. And CEO never said another word. End of story. Anyway, by the time the whole battalion got out, we were then sent down to Nairobi to sort out Nairobi because the gangs were...
Can I ask you a bit about this first patrol?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you have any intelligence?
None at all. Absolutely none at all.
You had half a platoon.
Half a platoon.
And what was the country like for which you were patrolling?
Well, it was a mountain in the background.
Yeah.
With forests as against jungle. And there was supposed to be Mickey Mouse, Mamo operating from there. And the settlers were not very happy. And I'd been sent down there, been asked through the police if we could send a platoon down there to really reassure the local white population.
Was it heavily wooded?
Oh yeah, heavily wooded. But you can, in the forest, in Kenya, you can walk through the forest. You know, it's rather like an oak forest in this country. A lot of it's cedar.
Did you have any contact or see anything?
No, nothing. Well, we thought we found a bandit camp, and we saw the smoke rising, and I said, "Bandits, we'll get them." And we crept up on this camp. It was a hot water geyser.
No trace of the bandits.
No trace of the bandits at all.
Did you see anything of the settlers?
Yeah, I went to see all the settlers I went through. You know, and I said, "Well, what's known?" And they really didn't know too much. Basically, the settler didn't think that their Africans would harm them. Of course, idiots. Those were the people who got cut up.
Were they in a highly nervous condition, did you think?
Well, no, not really, but somebody had obviously made an appreciation that they were. I think, basically, people said that there had been a couple of nasty murders in the area, but by people, off people, who had actually... said that their Africans wouldn't do it to them.
They did.
Well, we didn't know who the enemy were. We didn't know who the Mau Mau was. That they were all, majority of them were Kikuyu. We didn't know that the Maasai would kill them if they saw them. Intelligence was pretty poor. Usual story, actually. Anyway, then we got this jump down to Nairobi.
What's going on in Nairobi?
Well, Mau Mau gangs and recruiting of people for Mau Mau gangs. What's going on in the inner cities of England at the moment? Pillage and rape and just general being a nuisance, the African was, the Kikuyu African. Anyway, we were put in the race course at Nairobi, and the soldiers lived in the stables and we lived on the grandstand. I mean, literally on an open, it was open, including the CO. And we patrolled. We were given one Kenya Police Reserve officer, i.e. a local, most who could speak Swahili. And we were given areas of responsibility. Well, there were platoon, company, what have you. I had an African native quarter which was called Pumwani, which was a pretty average dregs, and it had its more than its fair share of brothels, and it had a huge market, African market. And we tried to. We went round and we were showing the flag, really, to start with, to let them know that the British were there. And I discharged my Luger there. I tried to halt two Africans who started to run away. And I said, stop, and they wouldn't stop. So I loosed off two rounds at them in quick succession. And they still didn't stop, so that was a failure in one easy lesson. And then we started to do company ops.
What sort of scale were your patrols? Did you take out?
Oh no, it took out 8 or 10 men.
And ever any sign of hostility?
Oh yeah, the Kikuyu, which are predominantly in Nairobi, was Solomon. And then the Kikuyu issued a notice to all Kikuyu, everybody who supported the Mau Mau were to wear beards. So I told my blokes all to get razors. We'd have those beards off. So they all had razors. And if we caught an African starting to grow a beard, we just took it off for him. Didn't use any water clean shave. Well, all we did was woof, woof. And he had a few cuts as well. So within 3 days in our area, we had nobody with a beard. Maybe not be peacekeeping, but it kept them down. And we had this damn great market. Two or three times, it was full of bandits. And every time we went to it, it had two entrances. And I never caught anybody. They would get out by the time I got round to the far side.
How did you recognise people as being bandits?
Well, you would arrest likely looking people and get your KPR person to interrogate them. But we did work fairly hard. It was we were working 8 hours on and 8 hours off.
Was there ever any large-scale disorder?
No. We raided African hotels, and we caught people hiding in cupboards. We caught a lot of people, which we handed over to the police. We manned roadblocks. And if people didn't have... Well, no, it was really to see that people in the cars had their capandi, their identity card.
Peace searches, then.
Beg your pardon?
Personality checks.
Oh, they were personality checks, and we didn't worry too much about the cars. They generally had rotten old cars. Actually, the African didn't own many cars. We'd stop buses and go through buses, get everybody out of a bus, check them over. You didn't check over Somalis, you didn't check over Maasai, because you knew, but you could tell who was a Maasai and who was a Kikuyu. We generally, if you like, hassled the African.
Were you looking for specific individuals at that stage?
We had no pictures of anybody at all. We had to go entirely on what our Kenya Police Reserve officer said. He said, right, we'll keep him. We don't want him. You had to go by somebody. And that was
Do you think he knew what he was doing?
Oh, yeah, he was a young man, his mid-20s, educated in Kenya, but was, you know, done his basic, if you like, TA. Instead of joining the Kenya Regiment, he joined the Kenya Police Reserve. And some of them were brilliant, stayed on, and they were the people, gangs and counter-gangs and all this sort of thing. But we did bring Nairobi under control. It didn't take us long. 3 or 4 weeks, if that. We brought it back by a continual harassment. And they gave us we must have done some good, because we were the only British battalion ever to be given the freedom of the city of Nairobi.
You're saying that after a while you were doing company operations.
Well, we did company operations on certain areas, and they had to cordon it off.
Yes.
But generally it was platoon or below. Yeah, but you see, it didn't send out a sergeant, basically. You had guards to do. Certain areas had to be guarded as well. Places like English schools and that sort of thing had to be protected.
Did you do any house searches?
Well, we did. We did. We were African down in the brothel areas.
Yes.
We also did hotel searches.
What were you looking for?
Well, people, or, you know, we'd try and find out who the people were, where they came from, what they were doing there. It was fair. I'm not saying we were perfect, but we did actually apprehend quite a lot of people.
What happened to them when they'd gone over when you handed them over to the police? Where did they go after
that? Well, I think they went to special interrogators, and either after a few days they were let go and told. Some, I presume, became informers. We didn't ask any questions, and we weren't given any answers. Anyway, we were there, and we were given the thanks by people in Nairobi, and when the battalion left, it was given the freedom. So I think that speaks for itself. It was considered by the civilian population, or maybe white, but also the Indians, that we'd been pretty fair. So then we returned to Naivasha.
What was it, Naivasha?
Well, Naivasha was the camp we put up.
Yeah.
It was still there. Mm. And we handed that over to somebody else. And we went up to Meru. And which is the other side of Mount Kenya. It was a long way. You know, like, I hate to think. 150, 200 miles. And we went up to Meru, and Mau Mau had been spreading into the Meru tribe. And it was thought that we should sort of operate in that area for a period of time. Nobody gave me any reason. And so we went into the forest. I was only there a fortnight. CO wants to see you. Oh, God, what's the CO want? I'm going up there and he's there down. Ah, Gordon. No change. Called me Potts up to then. He said, you've got to go for 6 months to the Kenya police. I said, well, I'd just make a point. I have been given a regular commission to this regiment, and I feel that, having been here under 2 months in the battalion, I hardly know my platoon, and things are, I don't think I'm the person. I should be here with my platoon, you know. He said, now look, don't argue. You're going to the Kenya police, and I'll tell you the reason why. A lot of the police have been sacked, incompetent, and when you're ready. Quite a lot of police have been sacked. Of course, with a great expansion of the police.
Why have they been sacked?
Well, I suppose they were too old, or they weren't up to it. And also, there was a great influx of police. And they brought in 400 police inspectors from what had been in Malaya and what had been ex-Palestine police. And they were all brought in. They all had to be trained. So basically, I was going to the police as advisor on tactics and training to get these chaps into a position where they could take over police posts, rapidly expanding police posts, and teaching them, if you like, basic tactics against guerrillas. But I hadn't actually had much to do with the Mau Mau at this stage. And I said to the CO, well, why me? And he said, well, I have to tell you, I've got 3 officers on adverse reports, junior officers. And you're not on one yet. You know, that was it.
By process of elimination.
I was the person. So I jumped in and I went to Gilgil and I reported to the police. And they were very helpful. And they were very pleased to see me. And there were only 2 regular police officers there. There was Carter. He was the senior superintendent. And the other chap was a commandant, but he was a reservist, and he was called Ted Onslow, who won 2 MCs at Gonder in the KAR, in the Tanganyika Battalion. And there was an inspector. And then all the rest of them were Kenya Police Reserve. Odd bunch of people. The nicest one was a chap called Mike Heath, who I liked immensely. His father was Lewis Heath, the general in Malaya during the Japanese advance. But I never found out much about his father, and he never spoke about him. We lived in the Gilgil Country Club, which was an old chalet, really. It wasn't a very posh place. It sounded posh. We had little boffy rooms, and until the carpenters had got ready the old Italian camp, or I don't know what sort of camp it was, we went there, And then we got our first intake of recruits, and they had to be taught quite a lot in whatever it was, 6 weeks.
What did you put into your syllabus of training for that 6 weeks?
Well, I did ambushes, setting ambushes. Don't walk about once you set an ambush. One CO in Kenya got KSLI. CO went to see if the ambush was alert, and he got killed. Basically, how to behave as a... They weren't policemen, really. They were soldiers of sorts.
So it's just basic infantry?
Basic infantry with... and their askaris were policemen, but basically a soldier.
Well, I mean, you mentioned ambushes. Did you... What sort of level were you doing these tactics? Did you go up to...
Well, basically, they were only in 20s, you know, so you weren't at platoon level. So, and then, of course, they had to have a guard left on in their little police post.
So could they do section tactics?
Yeah, we did fire and movement. I'm not actually okay with too much minor tactics, because I think we get carried away with it. I think you have to adapt your tactics to what's going on in the area. I don't know. I may be entirely wrong, but your patrols, with the police, they did have certain advantages. There were generally two or three of the Africans spoke a bit of English. Also, one or two of the Africans would be trackers. So these chaps came out, they had quite good Africans in a way, but they were basic. A lot of them couldn't read or write.
Presumably, though, if they were from the country, they would have field craft.
Well, funnily, you say that. People, certainly in Kenya, got terribly carried away with the Maasai. But put the Maasai inside the forest. Absolutely useless.
They're bushmen.
Mm. And the Wakamba, I suppose the best tribe for the police and the army were Wakamba, which come from Machakos. We had a lot of Somalis. And Somalis you shouldn't have too many of. They can be very treacherous. And a lot of people failed with having too many Somalis. They are very cruel, Somalis. You had Northern Frontier District, Nandi, where you had the warlike people like the Nandi and the Kipsigis. Kipsigis were more arable lands. Nandi were warriors. You had the Luo who came from around Lake Victoria. They was known by the locals as fish eaters. And you had the Turkana. They were a warrior race from up in the NFD. And then you had the Kikuyu, and they were the cause of the trouble, because they were the most intelligent.
What weaponry did they have? Did they have machine guns at all?
I think they had the Patchett came in about that time.
Submachine gun.
Yeah, and they'd have a Bren gun, and they would have rifles. A lot of them were the old number one rifles. They were quite good at shooting. They were okay.
It sounds as though really they were standard infantry section in police uniform.
Well, that's right, yeah, but they, you know, the British have always never liked the military. It doesn't matter if he's a policeman. I mean, basically, the police in India were exactly the same.
Like the Second Army.
Yeah, Second Army, yeah. How reliable they were is debatable, but there you are. So I trained these people for, and you had to take them to the range and they didn't join up with their askaris. Their askaris were trained somewhere else. So they didn't meet their platoon until such time as...
Extension number 23213, Reel 12.